time they go in front of the camera to report on something, it could be their last. They have so much at stake. I was scared, yes, but compared to what they had at stake, I didn't even dare to feel nervous.
Hello and welcome to the Unreported World podcast. I'm Krishnan Gurumurthy. Each week, I talk to the reporters from the Channel 4 series about the country they've been to, the people they met, and what stuck with them from their journey. With me today is Saha Zand, who has been to Nicaragua, where the president, Daniel Ortega, has launched a crackdown on the independent media. It's been a year of violent protests against Ortega, and he's repressing critics of his government. Journalists are facing violence and intimidation, while independent newspapers and TV channels are being silenced. It's become a country where reporting the truth can land you with a prison sentence. Saha has been investigating what it's like to report the news there and has spent time with one of the few newspapers that dares to break the government's rules in a fight for democracy. And Saha, you had to basically go undercover.
Yes, I mean, the whole place, everywhere you look, there is police, there is paramilitary with their guns just on a lookout for anyone who is about to, who looks like they're about to start a protest or press.
So the idea of going openly as foreign media?
Oh, no. We had a tiny DSLR that looked like, you know, we're touristic. I had to dress like a tourist. I mean, you can see in the videos, I'm in my flip-flops. Just because, I mean, there is no chance, no way they could have known what we're doing and would have allowed us. We had to be really, really undercover.
I'm constantly so nervous and on a lookout for the police or anyone who may spot us filming. If they see us filming, they would confiscate the camera, detain us, and then eventually deport us, so no film.
So what did you know before you arrived about what the dangers were for journalists?
I mean, they had already deported a few foreign journalists, and this whole story was about the government's crackdown on the press. After the protest that began in April last year, they've killed about 300 people. They've imprisoned over 700 people who took part in the protest, including journalists. So there is this chaos going on in the country and the government doing anything in its power to quiet people down. Most of the independent media has been closed down. Most of the journalists have escaped into exile, and a few have been imprisoned. And the rest are just not working anymore because they're too scared. All of this within the past 12 months.
I mean, we should begin, I suppose, by saying, what is it that journalists would be reporting on? I mean, is it the protests against Ortega that he likely wants to suppress?
That's a very good and important question. The reason these journalists are being targeted, are being shut down, is not because they're saying anything that is, you know, super controversial. It's purely because they're actually reporting on what's happening. It's because they've been reporting on the protests. Channel 10, which is the program and channel that I followed one of the journalists, they actually started getting targeted from last year because they started reporting on what was going on in the streets.
What sort of things were happening?
Well, people, at first, what happened is, it's a little bit complicated. I'll try to really simplify it. There were some tax reforms happening in the country, but Nicaraguans have been increasingly fed up with the autocracy that's been happening in the government. So this tension has been building up in the country, and these tax reforms were sort of a fire to really make people come out. When they came out and started protesting, the police and the paramilitary started shooting at them, and they killed a few people, and there was a lot of violence. And this was it. People were like, that's it, we've had enough, we're not going to take this anymore. They came out, started protesting, more people got killed. Then the mothers of those who got killed came out and started protesting for the blood of their kids. And even there was even more violence. And then over the past 12 months, over 300 people have been killed just like that.
And when you say this newsroom was being targeted, in what way were they being targeted by the authorities? So what was happening to their journalists?
Two prominent journalists, not from this newsroom, have been arrested. A lot of other ones, especially the big main ones, have left the country because they've been beaten up, they've had their newsrooms raided, they've had anything you can imagine. Another thing that many of them have had happen to them is they are kidnapped or they are stopped in the street near their homes, and somebody puts a gun to their head with their faces covered, and they take their phones and laptops, nothing else. And of course, we know phones and laptops are where we store all of our information, especially journalists, all of the contacts, videos, pictures. A lot of them are constantly receiving threats.
I was leaving the house with my husband. Two men on motorbikes pointed guns at our heads.
There is this constant feeling of claustrophobia and swimming against the current and being scared and, you know, any moment you could get beaten up. You have been beaten up. And it's just this really hostile environment for journalists to work in.
So when you were there, and we see this in the film, I mean, you must have been pretty scared.
Yeah, of course. But every time I got scared, you can see me on the screen, I'm literally constantly looking around, I'm constantly shaking. It was very, very scary. But every time I looked at these journalists and I saw they are living with that day in, day out. What they have at stake is so much higher than me.
Jumping out of the car in front of the police and filming pieces to camera and then jumping back into the car and racing off before they can be arrested.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, these are pretty extraordinary conditions to be working in.
Yeah, every time they go in front of the camera to report on something, it could be their last. They have so much at stake. I was scared, yes, but compared to what they had at stake, I didn't even dare to feel nervous.
So tell me about the main character, if you like, in the film and what she was like.
In most unreported worlds, we like to really get one character that really tells us the full story and follow their journey. In this film in particular, I think we have a couple of different characters that really show different aspects of the story. There is Manuel, he's one of the most popular bloggers in the country. He writes about current affairs. Before, he used to be quite, you know, careful. But since the protest began, he went at it. Ortega, there was this occasion where he burnt a house, his paramilitary. They burnt a house with two babies in it. And Manuel Diaz started writing a blog. And there he called Daniel Ortega a baby killer. And he's been receiving a lot of threats since then. When I went to see how his life's been affected, I noticed his house was empty. I saw suitcases packed, three suitcases, big house. He's a rich man. Three tiny suitcases in the corner of the room, empty house. He said, "We're leaving tomorrow morning. I cannot risk my life, my wife's life, my two babies." He had a one-year-old and a three-year-old baby. He said, "I cannot stay here anymore. I can't risk their lives."
How do you feel that you may never return to this home?
I don't like it a bit. I mean, I always like living here. So for me, it's very painful.
Moments like this, do you regret maybe writing your blog?
No, I mean, no, it's like, do you regret being who you are? I can. No.
There was Yvette, who is a young journalist. She was deeply traumatized. She wanted to look strong. She was very, you know, she was a go-getter. She was a strong, powerful woman. But every time she was showing me footage of when she was covering the protests and she got beaten up by the paramilitary as others were getting shot in front of her colleagues getting beaten up. And she couldn't even talk about it without controlling her tears, without controlling her, you know, voice shaking.
Yvette,
okay.
This is obviously very traumatic, and I can see you're still very affected months and months later.
I can't change what has happened, but we can change the future. And as reporters, that's our job.
There was Valeska, a young girl my age. She's a TV reporter, and she's had to move homes she's had to change her home and live with her parents now because it's too dangerous for her to stay in her house because they started getting threats. She started getting emails from some anonymous sources saying, giving details of her address and stuff. And you know what's coming after that. So she moved in with her parents and her mom, although they're very proud of what she's doing, she was like, "Every day, every morning when my daughter steps out of the house, I just sit here and pray until she comes back." And all of this just for people to do their job. All of this for people just to report on what's happening.
Are these clearly journalists then who've taken sides?
No, they haven't. That's what's interesting. You've got journalists who do fake news. You've got journalists who take side, who, you know, report on biased
news. So they are not anti-Ortega?
No, all they're doing is reporting on what's happening and reporting on facts. There was a new law passed recently. Ortega called anyone that opposes him, anyone that makes any reports that he doesn't want out, i.e. the protests, i.e. what's going on in the streets, is automatically considered a terrorist and will be treated as such.
Well, it's a fascinating watch, Sarah. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for listening. Censored is now available to watch on All Four and on the Unreported World YouTube channel. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please give us a rating and a review and do subscribe so you'll get the next one. Until next time, bye-bye.